of Hashem Yimloich Lo'olam Void, we have the pasuk of Lahibit Ovin B'Yakov V'Leira Amal B'Yisrael. Hashem Lekov Imo Yisrael as Melech Boy. What does the pasuk mean? Kipshutai, just taich. Hashem does not gaze upon the iniquities of Yaakov, and he does not look upon the burdensome sins of Yisrael. God, his Lord, is with him, and the trua of the king is in him, amongst him. I'm deliberately not explaining what the word trua means for now. First of all, a very basic question. When you go through the psukim of Malchus, it's pretty obvious, at least on the surface level, why each pasuk is properly defined as a pasuk of Malchus, of proclaiming Hashem's kingship. Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Void. Hashem is the king forever and ever. Ki LaHashem Hamelucho Moshel Bagoyim. The kingship belongs to Hashem, rulership over the nations. Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh, etc., etc. When you look at this pasuk, though, of Lehibit Aven B'Yakov, what is the pasuk coming to tell you? The pasuk is coming to tell you that Hashem does not look at the iniquities of the Jewish people. And then there seems to be an almost coincidental mentioning of the fact that Hashem is king, because it says, Usruas Melech Boy. It seems totally tangential, coincidental, not that that's what the pasuk is coming to talk about. The pasuk is not coming to talk about the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk is coming to tell you that Hashem is very nice to us. He doesn't look at our iniquities. Before we deal with that question, we have to understand, what is this pasuk telling us? In of itself, we all know the famous Maimer Chazal that the Ramchal brings down from the Yerushalmi, that Kol Ha'Imra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatar and Yivasru Ma'oi. Anybody who thinks that Hashem will just say, I don't have to pay attention to someone's Averis, we just overlook them, well, his innards will wind up getting overlooked. In other words, as Ramchal says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Mishpat, if Hashem stands for justice as it is, as it were, Hatsur tamim pa like yichol derach of mishpat kel emuna ve'in avil. So then says Ramchal, the same way that we expect, and perhaps in our minds even demand, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward good deeds, no matter how slight, and that he can't ever just say, you know what, no, I'm not going to reward that one. No, mishpat, there's justice. He did it, he deserves a reward. So the same thing, says Ramchal, goes for iniquities. Same things go for sins. Hashem can't, so to speak, just overlook something. So what is this pasuk telling us? Even before we get to understanding how it fits into the system of Malchus, what is it telling us? What does that mean that Hashem doesn't look at our averis? So Rashi, when he explains this pasuk, he says, "Einoi medaktek lehistakel be'avnius shelohem." Rashi has other lashonis as well, but I would like to focus in on this expression. Hashem is not particular to gaze upon the avniyus of them. So, I think it's clear that Rashi's doing something over here. In other words, there's an oven, there's an iniquity, and then there's avniyus, which is not a noun, but an adjective. The iniquitousness of, I don't think I just said that right. It's kind of like the sinfulness of them. So, what is Rashi saying? I would like to suggest a pshat based on something, a very profound idea, at least for me it was profound, that I heard from Rav Chizkiah Mishkovsky, not directly, I heard it on a tape once. He was speaking in the context of chinuch, of dealing with children, but I think that what he said really applies across the boards. He quoted the pasuk in, I believe it's Shir HaShirim, that says, "Al tiruni shani shecharchores sheshezafasni hashamish." Don't see me, don't look at me when I'm blackened by soot and burned by the sun. So he said, on the practical level, what that means, if your kid or your student acted up and they did something wrong, maybe even very wrong, don't look at me. It's almost as if the kid is pleading when I'm blackened by soot. In other words, explains Rav Mishkovsky, don't define me by a bad deed or even numerous negative things that I may have done. That's not who I am. The Medrash on that pasuk in Shir HaShirim says a very interesting thing. It says that the Goyim came with a claim against the Jews. You know, Hashem basically did away with you and now He took us instead of you. Sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? That's the dogma of certain religions out there. So what was the response of the Jews? The response of the Jews was, are you kidding? Look, for the few Averos that we did, that's the way the Medrash says it, if I'm remembering correctly, for the few Averos that we did, look what Hashem has done to us. What do you think is going to come to you for everything that you guys do? And then the Medrash gives a mashal for it. What's the mashal? Imagine you have a wealthy nobleman, and he has a beautiful wife, fair-skinned, maybe even blonde and blue-eyed. Don't know if that fits so much into a Jewish year, but okay, whatever. Get the point. A very beautiful woman. And one day, she was dealing with cooking or something or other, and she got all dirty from the ashes and the soot in the oven. And her husband, the nobleman, got very upset at her. And the slave woman, she saw this interaction between them. And the slave woman happened to have very, very, very dark, coarse, unattractive skin. And she, the slave woman, got all excited. And she ran to the neighbors and she said, you know, my master, the master of the house, he's going to divorce his wife and he's going to marry me instead. And they said to her, what exactly makes you think that? And she said, because the mistress, the woman of the house, she got, her skin got blackened, and he got so upset with her. So they looked at this slave woman and they said, boy, are you a foolish woman. She got dirty with some soot. If she goes and takes a decent shower, you know, it might take some time, depending on how much the soot got absorbed into her skin, but if she goes, takes a decent shower, and goes and gets a nice beauty treatment, she'll be back to her fair, beautiful self. But you, go look in the mirror. That's what you are inherently, intrinsically. And that's the mashal, says the Medrash, for what the Jewish people responded to this claim against them. So the point that Rav Mishkovsky was emphasizing is that when a child does something bad, even very bad, don't look at him when he's blackened. Meaning, don't think in your own mind, oh, now I see who you really are. Now I realize who I'm dealing with. Now I see the real you. No, it's not the real him. You know, if you tell him that enough, just totally on a tangent, parenthetically, if you tell him that enough, that that's the real him, Chas v'Shalom, he might actually come to believe you. And even though it's not the real him, because he's a Yid, and every Yid inherently has the ratzon to do Hashem's will, as is clear from the Gemara that says, Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzoncho, goliv yadu lefanecho. Hashem, you know, sheritzoneinu la'asos ritzoncho, that we really want to do what you want. Umi ma'akev al yadenu, it's the Gemara in Brachos, who's stopping us? The sa'ar shebe'isa v'shibun malchis. It's the yeast inside of the bread, which is a muscle for the Yetzihara, and shibun malchis, and the pressure from the subjugation of the goyim, the influence and the pressure from the goyim. And like the Rambam says, then how does it work if a man is refusing to give a get under circumstances where he needs to give one? So what do we do to him? Assuming that it's a time and place where Beis Din has the power to do so, they just simply give him malchus until he says, okay, give her the get. And of course, the obvious question is, how does that work? Why is that not considered a get musa? Why is it not considered a forced get? Because he doesn't really want to give it. The answer, says the Rambam, and this is a very, very famous Rambam, is that really every Jew wants to do the right thing. Just there's a little bit of a problem. There's the Yetzihara. So you beat him until the Yetzihara basically gets knocked out of commission. And then when he says, I want, that really is what he wants. The Rambam wasn't joking around. This is the difference between a woman who's a Pnuya, who's single, and a woman who's an Eishes Ish. That's the difference between night and day. And this is a halacha. It's a halacha based on a Gemara. The Rambam explains what's the pshat in the Gemara. Okay, so the idea, I think, is pretty clear by now, that what this pasuk is telling us is that Hashem does not gaze upon our iniquities to define us thereby. And that, I believe, is what Rashi is saying. Yes, an iniquity, a noun, you did. But Hashem doesn't gaze upon it, meaning Hashem does not look at that as if that is what defines us. It's not what defines us. He does not say, oh, you did an avera, that means that you're a sinful person. That's all you're a sinner. No. You're a good person. You're a wonderful person. You're my child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us. Not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're my bride. You're my wife. Shira Shirim. Like Chazal say that from the time of Matan Torah, Hashem was the chasen, as it were, and Klal Yisrael was the kala, the bride. So Hashem does not look at our iniquitousness, if there is such a word, our sinfulness, and say, ah, now I see, it's not just a noun, it's an adjective. No, 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 he leaves out the adjectives. Of course, if an avera was done, Hashem deals with it. If a punishment needs to be given, Hashem will mete it out. But what's the point? The point is, Hashem Eloikav Imai. Hashem is always on your side. Usru as melech boy. Rashi says, Sru as melech is miloshin rea. Like rea mahuvim. What's a rea? A rea is a friend. The friendship of the king is in him, is in Klal Yisrael. Meaning no matter what, Hashem is always on our side. Hashem is always there for us. He always has that sense of endearment for us, even if sometimes he has to pretend, as it were, that it's not the case. But really, Be'etzim, it's always there with us. Because what's the point? As we all know, the basic point that it comes down to is that Hashem did not create this world because he has a need for it. Hashem doesn't need anything. The only thing that he needs, as it were, or wants, rather, is a better way to say it, is to give, is to help, is to provide. That's what this pasuk is saying. Now, how does that fit in to the system of Malchus? I think at this point it's basically self-explanatory. And by including this pasuk in the system of Malchus, Chazal, I believe, were very powerfully underscoring this point. And that is, what's the difference between a good king and a bad king? This is something that doesn't really take all that much thought. Obviously, a bad king is someone who views his kingship, his monarchy, as a means to self-gratification. For him to become increasingly powerful to the point where he's a tyrannical despot, and just to increase his money, to abuse and take advantage of his subjects, of those that are under the power of his authority, to basically just strip them and suck the life out of them and take all their money and use them as a way of self-aggrandizement, an expression of self-aggrandizement. That's a bad king, right? For all he could care, the country could go to pits. He doesn't. What does he care about the people? He just cares about increasing his own wealth, his own power, his own greed, his own arrogance. That's all he cares about. Even in modern times, we see rulers like that in the world, unfortunately. And what's a good king? A good king is someone who does care for his subjects. He does care for his people. He does care for his country. He does care for his land. And that's what he focuses on. And he uses his power in order to facilitate the greatest benefit for his country, for his people. He uses his money and his dynamism and his talents and everything that he has basically to serve the people, to help them, to guide them, to provide for them. Leadership, infrastructure, support. It's like Chazal say, "Kol akoyne eved la'atzmai," someone who acquires a slave for himself, "kekoyne adam la'atzmai," he's like acquiring a master for himself. So of course Hashem is a good king. He's the best. So what's his malchus all about? Hashem does not need us to stand there and say, "Oh God, you are great, you're amazing." You know, he doesn't need us to give that little, glet, so to speak, to his ego. He doesn't need us to stroke his ego. He really doesn't. He has no need for it at all. The only reason why it's there is to provide for us, to give to us. Because for us to connect to that source of grandeur, greatness, power, is for us the greatest benefit. So this pasuk in the system of Malchus really expresses what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so to speak, with his Malchus. His Malchus is all about doing for us, caring for us, providing for us, leading us, helping us. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's whole interest is to do for us and to provide for us, that's why even when we mess up, he doesn't feel threatened. He doesn't need to come and smash us, so to speak, and quell the rebellion, as it were. He doesn't say, "Oh, you're a sinner. That's, oh, now I see what, now I see that's what you really are." No. He's always with us. Because that's what he's all about, so to speak. That's what he's all about. What his interest is, is to do for us. And therefore, when we mess up, if we need a patch, he'll give us a patch. Not because he has a need to give it, but because that's what we need to get better. So this pasuk, in a nutshell, is underscoring and emphasizing that when we talk about Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to understand we're not stroking God's ego. If you ever had the slightest notion that that's what we're doing, we're not. He does not need it. What we are doing is that we are connecting to this incredibly dynamic, vital force of energy called the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the greatest benefit for us. Hashem's Malchus that he stels avek, that he places into the world, and that he maintains in the world, is for the sake of giving to his creatures, to giving to us. Now, there's another, I believe, very powerful point in this pasuk, at least powerful in the sense of that it can help us to have a dynamic shift in terms of the way that we view and feel about what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah, and that is Usruas Melech Boy. So I already said the Rashi teaches what's Usruas Melech, the friendship of the king, the endearment, the friendship. Now imagine in your mind that there's a major, major parade going on for a king. And obviously, there's a very large range of people that are involved in that parade. But let's take two sides of the spectrum. On one side of the spectrum, you have a very, very simple citizen, regular guy, nothing special in terms of, power or influence, just a regular, old, average Joe citizen. Okay, that's one side of the spectrum. Could be you could have gone even lower, but let's leave it at that for now. And on the other side of the spectrum, you have the king's closest advisors, his generals, his ministers, and not just people that are factotums, that happen to occupy a position because the position needs to be occupied by someone. People that the king genuinely, really and truly feels that he appreciates what they bring to the fore in terms of how the country runs. And not only that, on a personal level as well, the king feels very close to them. And he relies on their opinions to a great extent. He entrusts them with the most important missions and so on and so forth. In a nutshell, they're very close to the king. Now, what is going to be the emotional experience of this royal parade vis-a-vis these two very disparate roles in the kingdom. I think it's safe to say that the average Joe, simple citizen, will experience a little bit, you know, wow, I'm really lucky to be part of such a wonderful country that is such a great king. There's a part of that, but I have a feeling that the overwhelming sense that he's going to have is a sense of bittul, of wow, I am so nothing, I am so inconsequential, I am so infinitesimal in my significance vis-a-vis this powerful, magnificent king. Bittul, a sense of wow, I am so nothing and the king is so everything. What about the close minister, general, advisor of the king? What's his experience going to be? How emotionally is this parade going to hit him? So, yeah, there's no question that there's going to be a certain point of, you know, wow, the king is, this whole thing is for the king. They're doing this all for the king. You know, and he's just so incredible, so amazing, so magnificent. You know, and what am I compared to him? There's going to be a certain amount of that for sure. There's no question about it. But what's going to be his primary sense about the situation? His primary sense about it is going to be a tremendous surge of joy, a feeling of tremendous satisfaction, and a real strong feeling of happiness and excitement about what's going on. Because he knows that even though, yes, it's for the king, but he's a part of it. He's a big part of it. He's really, really close to the king. Like Chazal say, if you get yourself close enough to the king, people will bow to you. Because they'll know that, you know, you're the one that has the in with the king. Basically, the evid of the king is like the king, if he gets close enough to the king. We, the Jewish people, and this is a theme that if you pay close attention to the wording of the davening, comes up again and again. Maybe we'll have another opportunity to point out another place or two where it comes up. But one of the major themes is that we're not just coronating Hashem king or proclaiming him king as it were, and you know, and we're like the little nothings. No, not at all. We are Hashem's representatives in this world. Usru as melech bay, the chiba. Hashem brings us close. We're his close generals. We're his close advisors. We're his close friends, kiviyachol. Re'acha v're'a avicha, says the pasuk. Hashem is your friend and he's the friend of your father. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch is our king. Yes, there is a certain sense of bittul. Wow. You know, he's the almighty, all-powerful. And what are we? But there's, I think, an even stronger feeling and emotional experience of this is incredible. We are part of this. We're part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malchus because we're the ones that he draws close. We're the ones that he relies on to bring the tachlis of the world to its fruition, to bring the whole purpose of the world to its fruition. He even relies on our opinion to a great extent. You'll say, well, what is that supposed to mean? Well, take a look at the Gemara. There's a Mefurish Gemara, I don't remember where, maybe in Baba Metzia. A Mefurish Gemara that says that there was a whole machlokes, what's the halacha? And it said that in Shemayim, you know, this one says this way, this one says this way. If I remember correctly, even Hashem himself, so to speak, gave an opinion. But then down here on this world, I think it was Rabbah. Rabbah was the one who passed in the Shaila, and Hashem said the halacha is like Rabbah. Like the Gemara and the Chazal say elsewhere, when the whole big machloek is between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, Lei b'shamayimi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu relies on our opinions. Obviously, our opinions meaning Klal Yisrael as manifest and represented by Chachmei Yisrael. And it's not just in those previous dairas. Obviously, that was when it was most powerfully manifest. But I read once that Rav Yitzchak Kotner said that in every single dair, in every single generation, there's a particular chacham or a particular group of chachamim. I think he said one in particular that the Shechina agrees with his svara, with his way of looking at things. And in his time, he said that it was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees, he puts his seal of approval, he relies, so to speak, on Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's Svara, on Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's way of looking at things. And it's like that in every door. The Hashgacha chooses who the Chachamim are. But the point is that when we go through Rosh Hashanah and we go through this whole system of Imru Lefanei Malchiyos Kedei Shetamlichuni Aleichem, say the Malchiyos so that you make me Melech over you, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says. We have to understand and be aware of the fact that we are part, so to speak, of Hashem's Malchus. Because we're the ones that He draws close. We're those close ministers, those close advisors, those close generals. And that awareness, hopefully, will infuse us with a sense of tremendous joy in what we're doing. Not only because we have the schus to be the ones to proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus now, but because in a very real sense, we're part of His Malchus, and that we are His chief representatives in this world.